Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the hotline, we welcome him in. You can find him on Twitter at RyanWilson_07. It's Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL writer. Ryan, good evening.
Hello, Ken. How's it going, man?
Ryan, it's not going too bad, except for my computer just froze, and I was trying to look up if the damn thing would work. Here we go. Okay, the punter for the Eagles is Donnie Jones. Why can't he kick off? I'm watching this game right now, and I guess Jake Elliott goes down, so they're going for two every single chance that the Eagles get a chance to score a touchdown, which they've scored a bunch here the last couple of minutes. And Jake Elliott goes down, so they're going for two. Then they just had one of their linebackers kick off. He kicked it into the end zone. Why can't Donnie Jones do kickoffs?
That's a great question. It's funny you mentioned that. My editor was just asking that same question. You know how practices go. The punters and the kickers kind of goof off. They work out for 10 or 15 minutes, and then they're not doing anything for the rest of practice. You think, during the downtime when you're not chugging Gatorade and throwing footballs in the trash cans, you could take time to maybe work on the worst-case scenario where your kicker might get hurt and you need a plan B that doesn't involve sort of random tryouts during the middle of the game.
It's just completely devoid of responsibility. And I'm thinking, if you're a man, if you're a kicker and you can do both kicking and punting, you could save a team a roster spot if they so choose in a certain lean week if they had to. You could make a lot more money. You would be worth two positions. I don't know how you can negotiate something like that. I know Phil Dawson was once franchised as a kicker. A couple times, actually. So I don't know exactly how that would work for them. But, yeah, you would have to figure something out to that accord, wouldn't you, Ryan?
Hey, Pat McAfee made a living out of he was the best punter in the NFL, but he also kicked off instead of Vinatieri for the Colts.
Yes.
And he regularly put the ball out of the back of the end zone, and he made it such a comfortable living that he decided that he didn't want to deal with Ryan Grigson, and he retired early, and you could argue in the prime of his career. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's sort of one of those things we yell every Sunday about coaches sort of messing up the clock management at the end of games or timeouts. But also, it is weird, as you point out, that there's no plan B for the kicker-slash-punter situation should one get hurt. There's no plan B for the long snapper in a lot of instances. You would think that maybe you could find someone that could practice that in their spare time. Maybe that's something else the punter could do, at least on the field goal situation, have him do more than one thing. But it is weird, and I would imagine that if 31 teams don't have a plan B, I would imagine that Bill Belichick has a plan C, D, and E.
Oh, you know that he absolutely does. Ryan Wilson joining us on the show, CBS Sports NFL writer. What was the most surprising game to you here in Week 11?
What are the Chiefs doing? It's funny. I thought that maybe the Browns, I know you don't want to hear this, maybe had a chance in the bad weather against the Jaguars, who have Blake Bortles as a quarterback, obviously. But I don't know what the Chiefs are doing. You cannot, under any circumstances, score 9 points against the Giants and lose to that team that was just humiliated by the 49ers. And
yeah,
they got to figure out something quickly, because at 6-4, they're still in good shape in what's pretty much a terrible AFC. But they're not going to go anywhere if they make it to the playoffs. They played poorly the last few weeks now, and I don't know what the quick fix is. It seems like teams have sort of figured out Kareem Hunt, Tariq Hill, Alex Smith now looks like the Alex Smith we're accustomed to seeing. So that's a concern for Andy Reid, certainly.
I got some people already on hold about the whole Buffalo Bills fiasco with Tyrod Taylor. Was that still the right move, or was that a silly – oh, there you go. Go ahead there, Ryan. Go right on ahead.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Last Sunday, after they got smoked by the Saints, Sean McDermott, their first-year coach, said that I'm sticking with Tyrod Taylor. Nathan Peterman is not ready. And unless Peterman got ready in 3 days when McDermott changed his mind, he was probably right, because we saw repeatedly on five separate occasions in the first 30 minutes of that game today that he was not ready. And it's unfair to Peterman, actually. He was getting crushed on social media, as often happens. That's what social media is for, it seems like, half the time. It wasn't his fault that he was unprepared, because he's a fifth-round pick. You had no business being out there. Tyrod came in and played. Look, I understand why McDermott might not want Tyrod long-term, but if the goal is to get to the playoffs for the first time since 1999, and you started 5-3 or 5-2, and now you're 5-4 after some bad losses, changing the quarterback from a veteran who can win you some games to a guy who has no chance of winning you games seems to me like a terrible decision. And I think McDermott agreed, because after 30 minutes, he put Tyrod back in. He said after the game that he doesn't regret the decision, he just regrets the results. That's sort of like not wearing a seatbelt and driving 100 miles an hour and getting upset that you end up flying through the windshield when you hit something. I think a lot of people saw this coming, and now the question is, what do you do going forward? Because you can't flip-flop like Bill O'Brien and hope for the best. So the thing is, McDermott hasn't committed yet. He said after the game that he doesn't know who the quarterback's going to be. So that could be, you know, that could already spell the end for the Bills in 2017.
Isn't that why people think they're tanking, though, or trying to tank? And why would you tank at 5-4? Why would you? I'm sorry, I get very upset about that, because I wanted the Bills to make the playoffs. I still want the Bills for their fans. I like their fans. I'm close to that area. In all geography, it's basically pretty similar. We're both on the lake here. I want them to do it. And that's just, it's just asinine. Ryan, it smells of a desperate rookie head coach who up until that point was pressing all the buttons still correctly.
That's exactly it. I think they have the defense, where Tyrod Taylor does not play, has given up 135 points in three games. You're going to lose football games playing defense like that. So to sort of scapegoat Tyrod isn't going to fix the issues on the defensive side of the ball. And I think you're exactly right, Ken. It looked to me like a panic move when it happened on Tuesday or Wednesday when he made the change. And my first thought was, God help us if Peterman struggles. I mean, no one thought that he would throw five interceptions in 30 minutes of football. So it was, you know, you looked at McDermott on the sidelines in the second quarter of that game, and he looked shell-shocked. Like, he had no idea what to do, and I could only imagine what was going through his head was, I don't know what I'm going to say to the press after this game, because clearly this was a terrible mistake. So, yeah, I think he panicked, and I think it blew up in his face, and there's still a chance. The team believes, it seems to me, in Tyrod more than they believe in Peterman, for obvious reasons. So McDermott has to figure this out pretty quickly if he wants to right the ship. Otherwise, we've seen this happen with rookie coaches. Josh McDaniels comes to mind. Back in 2010, I think his first year in Denver, they went 6-0 and finished 8-8. And the wheels fell off. So you have to avoid that as a first-year coach and sort of keep the team on your side, even if that means making decisions you're not necessarily crazy about in your first year as coach.
Ryan Wilson joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan_Wilson07. When's the other shoe going to drop on Case Keenum? He can't be this good. Minnesota can't be this good, can they?
It is amazing. And I was thinking today, you have to keep rolling with Keenum until he proves otherwise. He's playing well enough to – I mean, is he an 8-2 quarterback? No, I don't think anyone in the real world believes that. But he's doing enough to win football games. And the defense is obviously playing well, and he has playmakers around him. But I don't think you make the move to Teddy Bridgewater, even though Teddy Bridgewater is the better quarterback, if not now, certainly in the future. I mean, the guy's coming off a huge injury, hasn't played in over a year. I just don't think it's the right move. It wasn't clear what Mike Zimmer was going to do last week. My first thought was going back to the Bills, back when Wade Phillips decided to bench Doug Flutie in the playoffs for Rob Johnson, and they got destroyed. It didn't make sense then, and I don't think it makes sense now for the Vikings are doing. Case Keenum is a number two quarterback on every team's roster, except probably the Broncos, perhaps. But right now he's playing like a number one, and you roll with him. The team seems to have faith in him, and then you just go from you start. That's your starting point, and then keep winning football games. You stay with Case Keenum. If things turn south like they have for the Bills, for example, you can have that conversation, but they don't need to have it yet.
Mike McCarthy can't get let go, can he? Like, he'll be fine, won't he?
He is. If he goes down with the ship, he's going down with the ship captained by Brett Hundley, which, you know, I don't know if that's what you want to be at the top of your Wikipedia page.
Oh, boy. That's
so, yeah,
that's
he
not
has
good.
To. He is not going to bring in Colin Kaepernick. He's made that clear time and time again. And you'll hear calls for Kaepernick. My colleague Jason Lockenport wrote about that today, actually, about how the Packers are to blame for their current situation. They had to have known that Hundley wasn't the answer, Kaepernick or not, in terms of being an alternative plan. But they've seen enough of Hundley to know that after Aaron Rodgers, Hundley wasn't going to be able to get it done. And he maybe had one of the worst performances outside of Peterman that we saw on Sunday. And McCarthy's not changing, so he's going to roll with him, even if that means they don't win another football game, I suppose.
You know, I see some of these teams out here, the Packers, Carolina had that shot, but Cam Newton ended up being okay physically. A couple other teams where, you know, the the reason to not go to the reason to not give Colin Kaepernick a call. Like, I know that owners, and they could say, I don't think it's collusion, okay? I don't think that the lawsuit, quote-unquote, has a base. I think that it's not that hard to figure out that 80-year-old white men do not want Colin Kaepernick playing for their football team. I'm serious about that. I don't think there's collusion. I just think it's common sense to them. It's wrong, but it's common sense to them. Does that mean that these guys are more than willing to fire a coach, basically, over this with Colin Kaepernick? I mean, this could lose jobs because he's better than some of this garbage that these teams are trotting out here.
Oh yeah, I think so. If the scenario was that a coach brings in Colin Kaepernick and the owner isn't happy about it, I guarantee you they would fire someone over that. And I think you're exactly right in terms of where we're at in the Kaepernick situation. I know people hate talking about it, but the reality is that he's a top 32 quarterback. I mean, Blaine Gabbert started today. That's the guy that Gabbert lost his job to Kaepernick last year. And I think sort of like Tebow, but in the opposite direction. There's just so much baggage that comes with Kaepernick that owners, on some levels I understand, don't want to deal with. They're very much, look, these guys got to be billionaires for a reason, and that's being very conservative with their money. And when the fans and advertisers say, we're walking away from this if you do this, that gets the owner's attention. So I understand that. But also winning helps your franchise too. And there's a lot of losing going on with a lot of terrible quarterbacks, and I just can't imagine that one of these owners, and a lot of these owners are progressive in terms of how they think about things. Some of them are anyway, that haven't said, let's give this guy a shot, if for no other reason that I don't want to see Nathan Peterman out there again, or I don't want to see Jay Cutler out there again, and the list goes on and on. But we haven't gotten to that point, and I don't know if we will, to be honest with you.
Ryan, I wish we had more time, but sadly we've come to the end. Is there a surprise team you think is going to make the playoffs? Give me like two, if you can, in 30 seconds. Go.
I think the Ravens are going to sneak in. They're not a good football team, and
oh,
people are hopping on the Chargers bandwagon. They started
bold.
Slow.
Chargers.
A lot of people liked them back in August, and I think the defense is playing great. Phillip Rivers has to not make turnovers, and maybe they have a chance. The AFC is terrible, so the Ravens and the Chargers could be those two teams.
Look at you! You got your pad out. You hot take artist.
You like that?
Oh my God! The Chargers. In front of a sellout capacity crowd of 15,000.
Soccer stadium, baby.
Oh, my God. They got tarps over there. You got high school games in Northeast Ohio that are getting more than what the Chargers are getting. Ryan, I thank you so much for the time, my friend. You left us wanting more.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.